Conference Committee on the Transportation Policy Bill will come to order. We're going to do a couple things here because we have some members that are going to be rotating in and out, and we're going to ask Representative Morrow to make a couple comments and offer up an amendment, and then we're going to have Ms. Berezovsky kind of clean up some of the offer language that we made, and then I believe that Representative Erdahl has a couple of oral amendments, and Chair Hornstein as well. So, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I would move the A-35 amendment.
Representative Morrow on that amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, this concerns the EIS language that is on R-41. This was Senate language, and Senator Day, I believe you may have carried the language, or at least co-authored the language on the Senate side.
Yes, Chairman Senator's chair and myself, yes.
Mr. Chair, members, you're getting a document from the U.S. Highway 14 Partnership. I won't over or belabor the details, but it's been an odyssey trying to get MnDOT to complete the EISs on Highway 14, both in Senator Day's district and in my district. We've tried to work out some comfort language. I've requested letters from MnDOT. You did receive, I believe, members, a letter dated May 13th, 2009, should have been left at your place yesterday, regarding this language. I know that MnDOT opposes or has concerns about having specific project language in legislation. At the same time, I think these are unusual circumstances, and while I don't want to exaggerate the situation, I think it's interesting. I'm in the room with Joe Roulette's painting, being from St. Peter, and having some concerns about trust issues. For that reason, members, I offer this amendment. You'll see in Subdivision 1, it requires MnDOT, or says that the commissioner shall complete a final or submit a final EIS by December 31st, 2010. The reason for that date is on the last page of the MnDOT document yesterday. That is their date for final approval. You'll see Subdivision 2, and Senator, I won't speak too much about Subdivision 2, but that's the Dodge Center Owatonna section. Again, I believe that is using the MnDOT date in the packet of information we received yesterday. What Subdivision 3 does is, if the commissioner cannot meet the requirements of Subdivision or Subdivision 2, the commissioner needs to report, and you'll see what the report requires in the subpoints under Subdivision 3. The idea of the report is to have open, public, transparent communication on the progress and future delays, if any, on completing these EIS statements. In part, members, moving the EIS process forward results from what we saw in the federal stimulus money and now in the high priority project proposals that are being solicited as part of the Safety Lou reauthorization process. I would like, I think Senator Day joins me, would like 14 to be eligible for that funding. And until EISs are finished, we can't purchase right away. We can't, it makes it very difficult to apply for those funds.
Further discussion on the Morrow motion to amend? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Representative Morrow. Ms. Berezovsky, you have a few items to work through here.
Mr. Chair and members, the House side brought this to our attention. On page R7, the Senate language, section 6, the deputy registrar surcharge, to clarify that the deputy registrar can retain those surcharges. Our proposal would be to, on 6.23, after the word collect toward the end of the line, insert and retain. I believe this section was part of the Senate offer.
Can you repeat the line?
Yes. 6.23 on page R7. After the word collect, insert and retain. Should I continue or?
We'll take these one at a time, Ms. Pierce left. Senator Dibble moves that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Ms. Beerzowski.
Mr. Chair, on page R14, this was inadvertently excluded from the Senate offer. Section 11 on the Senate side, new language on 10.12 and 10.13 was intended to be included in the Senate offer.
Members, that's the driver feedback and safety monitoring equipment. And all this is language that says that you can't be ticketed for having one of these mechanisms in your car. The reason for the mechanisms in your car are parents are starting to be more aggressive with their teenage drivers, and they're starting to put in-car systems so that they can monitor who's actually driving their car, the rate of speed, the rate of acceleration, the rate of deceleration. It's a tool for families to use, especially for younger drivers. The other way that this would be potentially used in the future, there's all these interlock programs that, once somebody gets a DWI or a series of DWIs, they can voluntarily sign up for a program where they can get a permit to drive back and forth to work under certain circumstances. Sometimes the judge orders a very restrictive a set of circumstances on a particular individual, depending on where their chemical assessments come in and things like that. What we found is that some people will sign up for the program, with a lot of good intentions, but, alcoholism and drug addiction gets a pretty deep hook in some folks, and one way of keeping these people on the straight and narrow is to make sure that they have one of these monitoring systems in their car. And so if the judge orders it, like I said, it's a voluntary program. The individual has to pay for it all themselves, and they're able to get back and forth to work. I mean, it does a couple things. It keeps a person employed. It keeps them hopefully safe and sober on the road. And the other thing is they're not driving around in a car that's unlicensed with no insurance right down the line, because we all know that we all have constituents that do that. And, it'd be better for them to be in a program. But all this does is it allows that camera to be placed in the car without getting a ticket, because right now the only thing that you can have between the driver, or I should say the steering wheel and the windshield, is your rear view mirror or a GPS system. All this is these little cameras are about that big around, and they can be hooked right on the bottom of your mirror, or they can be slid up in the corner of your windshield. It's State Patrol doesn't have a problem with it. I don't think law enforcement has a problem with this at all. That was supposed to be part of the Senate offer, so if the House doesn't mind, we'd like to incorporate that in our offer. Ms. Beerzowski.
Mr. Chair, and then staff just wanted to clarify the three sections where that fix the effective date of the ignition interlock program, whether those were adopted or not. There was a motion, but staff wasn't sure exactly if that motion was to adopt those sections into the conference committee report. And that's sections, Senate sections 13, 27, and 29. Is that right? It's on R15, R24, and R25. Yes. Sections 13, 27, and 28.
Ms. Pierzowski, that was sections 13.
And then on R 24 and 25, it's sections 27 and 28. This is language that was just signed into law within the last week or two, but there was no effective date specified in session law, so that it wouldn't take effect till August 1, and the department requested a July 1 effective date. Otherwise, there's a lapse of a month between the sunset of the program and then the extension of the sunset.
Representative Champion would move those sections. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you. Ms. Pierzowski, I think that there's a couple more.
Mr. Chair, I just have one final note, and that's on section 29, pages R25 and R26 on the Senate side. And that was, I think, intended to be included along with the related sections, which are on our 26 and 27, section 30, section 32, 31 was amended.
Right. Members, on your sheet that I put together, and the reason why we're having to go back over this is because I put it together, not Ms. Pierzowski, as you can see that she's picking up all the mistakes. But that section 29 fits in with Senator Dibble's transportation goals amendment on that. So we would incorporate that as part of our offer to the House.
Oh, and I'm not much better. I missed it. You think I would have picked that up? So
yeah,
I need staff.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, I was beginning to feel like the negotiating strategy here was very reminiscent of someone commonly referred to as the truck driver's son, and we come back with a new set of ideas after we provide initial offer out. So. But maybe a good strategy.
Sometimes being in a state of confusion is a good strategy. Mm-hmm. I believe Representative Erdahl, I think that those were the, is that, Ms. Pierzowski, I'm sorry.
Oh, Mr. Chair, Ms. Newman just wanted me to make sure that everyone understands that the repealer section 49 is also part of the Senate offer.
Right. And that was the 4-hour waiting towing on the towing provision. And the hazmat sticker. And that hazmat sticker is only, and I think I explained this to everybody earlier, it's a state sticker that is the same program as a federal program, so we don't need a state program if we already have a federal program. That's what that repealer is for. And we would incorporate that in our offer as well. Representative Erdahl, you had some suggestions?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, a couple of short amendments. I'd like to move to amend on page R31, Senate language. Page 24, delete lines 34 and 35. Then I've got a copy of this that I will hand in, but then renumber. And this deals with the compensation for the council.
Mm-hmm. Representative Erdahl has moved on page R31, lines 24.34 and 24.35 to be removed. Members, this is the compensation for the council that Senator Dibble has been working on. And Representative Erdahl, I understand you know, why you've made this motion. It's very understandable. I think there's arguments on both sides. My argument would simply be that, you know, we are a citizen legislature. This is a group of citizens that will be on this council. A lot of times we ask citizens, you know, to take time off away from their regular jobs, just like we do, to attend these functions. And you know, the whatever the per diem is that we pay to citizens, it's not much, but at least covers their gas expense and things like that. And for members, you know, there's a lot of members around the table, and they work jobs where they have pretty good incomes. And a lot of times, and just speaking from personal experience, you got to take time off with no pay to, you know, do this job as well sometimes in the off season. And, you know, that per diem is just a little way of kind of making up for some lost wages at our other jobs. So I would, you know, speak against the amendment, but Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I'll also just mention that, you know, in Section 15.059, Subdivision 3, it does recognize that when members of the agencies are members of this of these kinds of bodies, just, you know, they're entitled to their regular pay. It's part of their job. You know, so some folks would be sitting there being paid. Other people would be there without any recognition of their time.
Yeah.
So that was the interest in including Subdivision 5.
Yeah. Representative Erdahl.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I don't disagree with most of the points that you made. I think that, you know, generally it is a good thing if we can, you know, give people some type of compensation for these types of committees. But, you know, in our current economic times, Representative Biskins would want me to say we have a $6.4 billion deficit. You know, in the task forces, other committees that I've fashioned in my legislation, I have not included compensation, just, you know, saying that the committee would absorb whatever cost there is. And it just is kind of a stickler with me in our present state to not give additional compensation to these people. Basically, they're serving because they've been asked and they have an interest and a desire. So,
I understand. Further discussion on the Erdahl motion to amend? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion is not adopted. Representative Erdahl, do you have another one?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move on page R32, House language. Page 10, line 3, after 2, insert ex officio members who are. This basically changes the council in the labor provision to be non-voting labor members. I have chatted with Mr. Qualley about this, and they have no problem with that change.
All right. On the Erdahl motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. You're batting 500, Representative. Do you want to try for another one?
You want my little statement now? And
No. Oh, yeah, well, if you want to make a statement, that's fine.
To keep myself at, thank you, Mr. Chairman, to keep myself at 500, not dip below this year. I just wanted to make a brief statement on one provision that passed the House that has not been included, and that's the Dimler Amendment changes. As I'm sure all of you know, currently you can get up to 65 miles an hour and a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit without having this reported to your record, without influencing your insurance costs. You're still against the law, you can be fined and all of that, but it doesn't go on your record. And we have 60-mile-an-hour speed limits in Minnesota that does not have a corresponding provision if you go 70. So basically this would affect the speed limits from 65 to 70, that it would not be reported, would not go on your record, still against the law, you still pay the fine. I've achieved a garner a lot of support on this. It passed the House 103-27. A year ago, it did pass our committee this year. And I've had former Colonel of the State Patrol, Roger Letting, former Representative Dimmler, former Representative, former Judge Joe Quinn, express support for this. And I guess I won't push it today. I won't offer it today. But would appreciate it, Senator Murphy, if you would hear this in committee next year.
Mm-hmm. Representative Erdahl, the House had a couple provisions that we dropped out of the finance bill, and what our intention is to take some public testimony and hold a couple hearings later in the fall on this issue of Dimmler and expanding the use of Dimmler, things like the Rukavina amendment that would allow you to go over 55 miles an hour to pass, or to go above the speed limit by an appropriate amount so that you don't get a ticket and you're still safe to pass. So there's going to be a few of these things that we're going to be taking a look at, and for Representative Hornstein, I think that we should probably do it as a joint exercise so that we all hear the same testimony. But that you do bring up a good point. There's several of these things that haven't quite made the grade this year, either in the policy bill or in the funding bill, that need serious consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Representative Erdahl for, his work on this. And, he got it in the House side fair and square. I mean, in my own committee, I lost 10-6 on this. So, it has been a lot of respect the chair has. The House has, again, I think I'm one of the 20 people that vote against this every year, and I think he's gotten in triple figures every year. So I appreciate both the fact that Representative Erdahl has come to an agreement with Senator Murphy on this, and you'll hear it for the first time in the Senate, and we'll see what happens.
Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chair, we've rolled you a couple times, so.
I shouldn't feel so bad. So I appreciate that everyone's talking about this, and certainly make things easier.
Yeah, every now and again, you have to roll the chair. It kind of keeps their ego in check, so.
Just fun for the committee.
Yeah. That's why I didn't hear the bill. I don't like getting rolled. Representative Hornstein, did you want to adopt any of the provisions that are Senator Dahl?
If I may, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to there's one thing that's not in our offer, and I just wanted to clarify something. I had talked with MnDOT and Met Council on the plan, the statewide rail plan, having inclusion of the rail line that I had requested. Mm-hmm. And they assured me that they would put in writing to do that to that extent. And yet there was another part of that was for our committee member, Senator Bonoff. And I don't know that that she's been able to address that. I was wondering if maybe do you know if they'll do the same for that particular line as well?
Mr. Rudin or Mr. Peterson, can you, for the Little Crow Transit line, can you write the same letter to Senator Bonoff and the same folks in the House?
Mr. Chairman, Scott Peterson from MnDOT. Yes, I've had this conversation with Representative Erdahl. He has same concern about the same rail line as Senator Bonoff does, and we are in the process today of drafting letters assuring members that we will study both those lines as a part of our statewide rail plan.
Representative Erdahl.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Peterson. I did have that conversation with him and would appreciate seeing that letter.
Great. Thanks, Senator Dahl. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, I believe that Representative Swales has a motion, and I have more of a question, and then I think we're pretty close to done here. So.
Okay. Representative Swales.
Mr. Chair and members, we are we discussed this in our meeting earlier today about our 40, Section 42, the removal of the deputy registrar in Farmington.
Representative, we felt that this would be an appropriate part of our initial offer to the House for several different reasons. Not only do we have a senator from that area that was very adamant about this provision, but we've also talked with, you know, some of the other folks involved, gotten a little information here, and feel that, you know, the placing a new deputy register in City Hall in the city of Farmington, you know, they just are finishing up construction on their new City Hall. A lot of times deputy registers need to have certain utilities. And my understanding is they're putting those in that building in anticipation. So, you know, they've got a brand new facility. That is one area of our state that actually has some potential room for growth. As a matter of fact, a lot of room for growth. Of course, you could say that about the corridor going up to St. Cloud or Duluth. But so we felt that there was a need for that. If you want to make any motion, that's fine too. I mean, when we go down through this offer, we could leave that on the side and vote on it individually if you would want, if that would make you.
I think, Mr. Chair, that that would be a fine solution. I also think that we have someone here who could at least provide some information that would be a counterpoint. Mm-hmm. To the proposal that your senator proposed. Mm-hmm. Would that be all right for us to hear from this individual?
We could if, I mean, we normally try to keep testimony.
Yes, I understand.
At a bare minimum.
Okay, it's your
turn. Yeah, Mr. Hurst, did you want to address the committee? And then we're going to have Ms. McCormick come to the table when Mr. Hurst is done. Evidently, there's a technical change that needs to happen with some of the credit card language. Mr. Hurst.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For the record, my name is Jim Hurst. I represent the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association. I'll be brief in my comments. We certainly appreciate when communities want to provide the services that deputy registrars provide in the state. However, our position is we fully embrace and support the existing rules and regulations pertaining to deputy registrar offices, and to that degree we would respectfully ask that the city of Farmington proceed along those lines. I'm not sure if they have reached out to the Department of Public Safety to see if they would qualify for an office at that location. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. Members, what we're going to do, I believe that... okay. In regards to this, Representative Swales, that's what we'll do. Representative Hornstein's going to make a counteroffer here real quick, and then which won't include the Farmington deputy. We'll vote on that separately. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day.
I think I need to comment on it. Mm-hmm. As you well know, Senator Perzo from this area brought this to our entire Senate, and I don't know if it was unanimous, but overwhelmingly. And we have to, and I love deputy registers, and I think that's wonderful, but we have to, I hope, look out for communities and people more so than one or two deputy registers that might be in the area. And this is a community is building this brand new facility, and it's offering something to this community that is really growing, and there's plenty of business for everybody, but we would be ruling for two or three people over thousands. that live in this community that would like this in there. So, you know, before everybody gets too hasty, I wanted to offer those comments that you know, so when somebody says we're opposed to something, sometimes it becomes a turf war. And in this case, it's about a lot of people living in a community that this is something that would really be good for them in their new, brand new city hall. So thought I would offer it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Day. And members, in my neck of the woods, we have a deputy in Red Wing and then one down in Wabasha. Well, Lake City is approximately 14 miles from the deputy registrar in Red Wing and about 13 from Wabasha. We wanted to put one in Lake City, and this was the first year that I was in the legislature, and I took the ultimate beat down on that. And looking back at it, it was very understandable because it was not a community that was growing, which is different in this situation. This is a community that's growing. There's a lot of people that have to drive 10, 12, 13 miles to another deputy. And it's, you know, it's a matter of convenience. And that's what deputy registers are. They are very convenient. For the most part, the people are that run deputies are, top-notch. They get customers in and out. And, you know, the folks in Farmington would really like to have that opportunity. And that's what that. Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I have been handed a note here on the A35 amendment that I offered earlier. There's just one small change on line 2.9 of the amendment. Mr. Chair and members, where it's, I'd like to insert districts 6 and 7 on the last line. There's just a reference to district 7, but I believe, Senator Day, district 6 is also involved.
Yeah, they are. On the moral motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion does prevail. Ms. McCormick, could you come to the table, please? Thank you. Ms. McCormick, you have a suggestion about the credit card language.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services with the Department of Public Safety. And I just want to make a clarification so that I'm sure that I understand the change that was made where it would allow the deputy registrars to retain the customer convenience fee that would be charged for our customers. My concern with that language in retain, it would appear to me to sound like the deputy registrars would be able to keep that money. And my concern is that the plan and the proposal that the department is looking at right now for credit card, to allow credit card payments for us as well as our agents, would be a proposal where we would probably be able to have the equipment provided by the financial institution we might work with so that they wouldn't have additional costs in the processing of the credit cards from our standpoint, but that we would have a similar charge that would be charged to all customers for these transactions, and that money then would go to pay for the credit card payment processing. So in essence, yes, they would collect the fees, but they would have to pay those fees to pay for the credit card processing. If the intention of the committee is for them to retain that money, that would mean the state would have to pick up all the costs associated with the customer convenience fee. And as we've talked about and in the report that we've provided you with, that could be several million dollars that we would have to pay in those customer convenience fees. So if you mean, though, that they collect it, that goes to their bank account, and then they pay out a certain amount. Well, you know, the bank sweeps the amount out, which is what happens on a daily basis in doing their business, then that's fine. But if the intention is to provide the deputy registrars with more additional revenue, then the department would have a concern with that because it would be a great fiscal impact to the state in that regard.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Ms. McCormick, what would you suggest? Because it's clearly, and I don't believe it's anybody's intention on the conference committee here to add profit to the bottom line. It was clearly it was our thought to cover the cost of that transaction. We're not trying to help the deputy registrars make more money, just provide that convenience with the credit card. What would you suggest that we do with the language?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, you could say to pay for the costs associated with it, if that would make more sense, so that if that would be agreeable, something along those lines. But just so that it's clear, so we don't have a concern or we get challenged at some point, because we need those fees to pay for the credit card processing.
Okay, Senator Dibble.
I see council working on it. I have a thought, though. Maybe it can read, the deputy registrar may collect, strike the words, and retain. So the deputy registrar may collect a surcharge for the purpose of paying the statutory fees, taxes, and filing fee, not greater than the cost of processing, blah, blah, blah. For the purpose of paying, I guess, is, and striking the word on. Unless the council has a better suggestion, which she probably does.
Ms. Pierzowski?
Well, Mr. Chair, I was thinking that that might work too, but I was thinking to delete and retain and then add a sentence at the end of 6.26. The surcharge or the deputy registrar shall, I don't know, I'm not sure what it go in, what would the preferred handling be to go into the vehicle services operating account? So, and then the department would be responsible for the credit card fees.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, I'm not, since we haven't gotten into the details with the financial institution at this time, I'm not quite sure how it'll all work. I don't think it would go into the vehicle services account. The fee would go directly to the financial institution, I think. We would, the program we're looking at would divide the fees up as they sweep it from the account, and a certain amount would go to the financial institution for credit card transactions. So I don't think it would it wouldn't go into our account from what I understand. But I'm not quite clear. We don't have a contract or anything at this point. We've been waiting till the legislative session ends before we got into anything with it. So,
Ms. Pierzowski.
Mr. Chair, perhaps at the end of 6.26, just to make the intention clear, the surcharge must be used or credited toward the payment of the cost of processing credit and debit charge transactions.
All right. Does the committee understand that?
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, I understand Ms. McCormick nodded in agreement.
In agreement, yes. Yes.
And we'd strike the words and retain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On the Dibble motion to amend, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion does prevail. Thank you, Ms. McCormick and Ms. Pierzowski. Representative Hornstein? The Senate is having a roll call vote right now. I think we need to take a.
Sure.
Can we take a
absolutely
10-minute recess?
Okay. We'll stay put and see in 10.
Okay. The committee is in recess for 10 minutes. Thank you.
I think Scott's put out a deli buffet in his office.
Yeah.
Oh, really? We don't need to roll.